I have a confession to make now that the kids are away. I'm not really a true dyed-in-the-wool Nats fan. I'm a Boston Red Sox fan. I grew up in Maine. My father was in the Navy during World War II, and he was stationed in Portland for a little while before he went to the South Pacific. He met my mother in Maine, and they got married in a little town just north of Portland, Falmouth, Maine, where my mother's father, my maternal grandfather, was the pastor of Emmaus Lutheran Church. So I grew up there. And by there, I mean Emmaus Lutheran Church. My mother was organist and choir director, and my father did everything in that congregation, like a lot of folks in a lot of congregations. He did everything from being an usher to being church council president. Now, the reason I bring that up is next week, of course, you're having an annual meeting, and which includes elections to church council. So you may be thinking, what skills are required for being a church council president? Well, turns out, at least being able to talk like a sailor is not disqualifying for the position. So you might be able to do the job. But I digress. You may be thinking that I'm a Boston Red Sox fan because I grew up in Maine, 2 hours from Fenway Park, the closest major league park to Portland. Nope. I became a Red Sox fan because my father grew up in San Diego and went to high school with Ted Williams. Now, if you don't know who Ted Williams is, you can Google it right now because I probably lost you when I mentioned World War II, ancient history. Anyway, I know that's a long way to go to explain my baseball loyalties. But it's more than explaining my baseball loyalties. It's saying geography is important. It's important enough that when we meet somebody along with what do you do, we say, where are you from? Because where we're from and where we've been are important to who we are and what we think and what team we root for. It mattered to the gospel writer, that's for sure, and it mattered to Jesus. Right before this healing story, we get reminded that Jesus didn't spend much time in his hometown, and for good reason. They tried to throw him off a cliff once or twice because, well, he suggested that maybe the home team wasn't as special as they thought they were. And we shouldn't be surprised that they got angry with him. John reminded us at the very beginning, he came to his own and his own people didn't accept him. Jesus, in his honesty, made his family and friends and neighbors uncomfortable and embarrassed. They wanted him to be quiet. They got even angry and violent, so it's reasonable that he moved around a lot. And John tells us where he went as a way of telling us why. In these stories, geography is theology and history and sociology and economics and politics. He tells us where Jesus went so we understand why he went there. This past week, Whoopi Goldberg got in trouble for saying that the Holocaust was not racism. She was, at the very least, imprecise in her language, that saying that the murder of 6 million Jews was not racist. Yes, of course it was. But what struck me in the aftermath of what she said was the uproar. Essentially, it became yet another example of how deep our racism is, the us against them-ism of those who defended or attacked Whoopi Goldberg for what she said. It's almost like we need to have an adversary, somebody we can hate, so that we can believe that we're on the right side, that we're on God's side, and of course that God is on ours. We need the other side to be wrong. Every argument I've ever had was because I was righteously indignant about something. Emphasis on the righteous indignation. A couple of weeks ago, in the readings, Jesus did the water into wine thing. It was in Cana of Galilee. Same place. He's back there. He's gone full circle. But at that water into wine thing, there were just a few people, comparatively, family, friends, neighbors. They were all his gang. The story tells us his mother and his disciples were there. So he does this miracle, if you will, for the home team. And by the way, those who have ears to hear, let them hear. Godiva would have you think that the symbol for love is chocolate. Turns out it's not. It's wine. Wedding, wine, love. Those who have ears to hear, it's a week from tomorrow, Valentine's Day. So John says, not chocolate, but wine. Well, remember that the next time you have a glass of wine, either at home or at worship. So, Jesus' first miracle, first sign, is with and for the local folks in Cana. And then Jesus hits the road for a while. He goes to the beach, Capernaum, right on the water. And then he goes south to the big city for the holidays. And he stays there for a while, and when it's time to go home, he heads north, the shortest route back home is straight north through Samaria. Jews didn't like going through Samaria. But I occasionally spend some time up in Maine still, and I go up there, and I carefully plan the time of day I leave and the route, because I want to spend as little time as possible in Newark, New Jersey, or New York City. Now, part of it's the traffic, but part of it is, well, I'm a Red Sox fan, so I hate the Yankees. Don't want to spend any time in their town. But Jesus, taking the shortest route through Samaria, well, while he's there, he talks to this woman at a well, last week's lesson, and in the conversation, she learns that it is God's desire to heal and help and to dwell with everybody in the world, all creation, including her, even though she has some questionable family values. She's on the wrong side of the border. And you might note, she came pretty close to picking a fight with Jesus over where to go to church. Turns out Samaritans and Jews were really the same religion. They both worshiped the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but they disagreed about where, among other things. So they're just different denominations. If you're in Lutheran denominationalism, you probably have heard the arguments about whether Missouri Synod or ELCA is the proper Lutheran expression. And Jesus says, neither. It's bigger than that. But now Jesus has gone through Samaria and is back at Cana, full circle. And here's a guy asking for a favor. But he's not from Cana. He's not even the same nationality. He's not a neighbor, a friend. He's a stranger. And Luke and Matthew, when they tell this story, make it clear that he's a Roman, a hated Roman. He's a politician. And he's a politician from the other party. So, Jesus had no reason to do anything for him. He says, "You people, you're all alike. Gimme, gimme, gimme. That's all you're interested in." But this guy doesn't give up. He says, "Please, come on, before my little boy dies. Remember the woman who was asking for a favor from Jesus, and he said, it's not fair to throw the children's food to the dogs. And she said, even the dogs get the table scraps." She didn't give up, and this guy doesn't. Jesus tells the politician, bad translation here, "Your son will live." He really says, "Your son is alive." Can't tell from the tone of voice, but it sounds like a duh. "Of course my son's alive now, but I want you to come." So the guy leaves and finds out on his way home, a two-day journey, that his servants meet him and tell him not only is his son alive, but is getting better. And he says, "When did that start to happen?" Bad translation here too. It says 1 o'clock in the afternoon yesterday. It really says the seventh hour. Seven, the number of perfect, the number of done. So you've hung with me for a long time here today. Or maybe not, the camera only works one way. I'm not sure if you've hung with me. But in any event, I'll trust you have. So let me wrap it up. You know that God loves Lutherans, and perhaps Presbyterians and Methodists. But, well, at least the nice ones, right? But it turns out that's not all. Turns out God also loves Catholics. Who knew? And even the not-so-nice people God loves. We all knew that, but we have a hard time remembering it when there are people who are not nice around us, when our buttons are getting pushed by people who are coming to a place or from a place we don't agree with. Geography is theology, is economics and politics. And yeah, we know God loves us, but I have a hard time believing there are other people, others God loves. Whoopi Goldberg and the people who disagreed with what she said and how she said it. Neil Young and Joe Rogan. The Red Sox and the Yankees. God loves white supremacists and Black Lives Matter activists. Democrats and Republicans, Russian oligarchs, and American GIs. You've heard it before, probably from me. It's a quote from Anne Lamott, great writer. She said, "You can be pretty sure you've created God in your own image when God hates all the same people you do." God has prepared a place for us. That's the promise from near the end of John's Gospel. But there's a place prepared for us in the kingdom for us and for them. We probably ought to get used to that idea and let it influence our thoughts and our feelings and our behavior. There's room in the kingdom for all of us. And because there's room in the kingdom for them, there is room for us as well. So God, make room in our hearts for them as well. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.